Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. I love saying that. This is another day that the Lord has given us another opportunity. Amen, and I hope that you have had a wonderful day and you're taking care of yourself, washing your hands and making sure that you're wearing your mask and social distancing. Amen, because we have to encourage one another to make sure that we follow the rules so that everyone is safe. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we thank you for tuning in. For those of you who are listening by Internet, you can call in and interact. We are an interactive Bible study. You can, when the speaker opens up the lines, you can ask questions or share your thoughts. Amen. When she offers that, when Pastor Nixon offers that, and the call-in number is to go to get online. What am I saying? Call-in number to get online. You would type in Blog Talk Radio and then type in We Can Begin Again. All right, you would type in Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again, and you can participate. Amen. Also, for the archive, we'd like for you to share this message, you know, or any of the messages with a family or a friend. That's an opportunity to witness to someone in your family or outside of your family. Amen. In-laws, outlaws. An opportunity for you to be a witness, amen, by sharing with them this message for this evening. Of course, you know, we're right back in New York this week with Pastor Dawn Nixon, who always has an exciting word, amen, an encouraging word. And we are not going to prolong the time. We're going to move on over into Long Island, New York. And the next voice you hear will be Pastor Dawn Nixon from out of Long Island, New York. Amen. Pastor Nixon, are you there?
Yes, blessings to everyone who is on the line. So grateful to be back on for our third Wednesday. Please, someone, let someone know that we're on the line. I want to deal with our current events and where we are today. I believe that the Bible, there is nothing new under the sun, and you'll find that what was relevant in Old Testament, you'll find that it is relevant even in to this day, to this hour. And so I believe that we want to share something with you to encourage you, let you know that you're not losing it in this season, in spite of what we're going through and what you see others going through. I need you to understand that God is really, really in control. And, and the enemy will make it seem like an illusion that God does not know what he's doing. If God knew what he was doing years ago when he brought you out of something years ago, he is the same God that will bring you out of this as well. So I want to go into a word of prayer, if you would. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for allowing us to be here. Most of all, we thank you, God, for allowing us to be in our right mind. We pray, Almighty God, that you will share a word with us to help us through our journey, God, as our days progress. And as we see so many things from just uprising in our country and in our world, God, we know you hold us in the hollow of your hand. And so we grasp home to the word of God so that we will be able to sustain in our life and in our situation and on our assignments and on our journey. And, God, this is not the first time things have been out of sorts for humanity, but we know that through all of it that you have been a God who has been a just God. And we thank you because you're just what we need in the time of our need. And so we thank you, mighty God, for what you will say to your people that will help us and bless us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, we're going to Psalm 33rd. Psalm, and we're going to start reading at first verse to the 22nd verses. I want to deal with on this evening, I want to deal with managing your emotions, managing your emotions. Somebody, please send this number and link to someone who is going through depression, going through a pivot in their life where they feel like they're losing it. I come to help them this evening to let them know that God has all things intact. So we're going to Psalm 33. I'm going to start at verse 1, and the word of the Lord reads, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, For praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and instruments of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the water of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth of the storehouse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. I'm going to say it again. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thought of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I'm going to say that again. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitation of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, or reverence him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as hope in thee. All right. There's a lot of things I want to deal with on today, because we are in a place where our emotions are everywhere. The church oftentimes uses rejoicing, singing, and dancing as a form of therapy. You'll notice that whenever we have a home-going celebration for one who has transitioned in God, there is dancing, there is praising, there is weeping. We do all kinds of different emotional things that we do because it's a form of therapy for us. Because we know, yes, indeed, we know that there are those who have transitioned and been gone on with the Lord. But there is something about when you leave this earth and go on with the Lord, there is singing and dancing and there is rejoicing within our hearts, because we understand this one thing. We are going to miss that physical body, but we know that we will rejoice with them again because they have lived their life according to the will and the word of the Lord. And God looks at our heart. He doesn't look at necessarily our emotions. He looks at our heart. And so we've got to understand Amen. That our emotions are both complex and it is complicated at times. And even experts are now are not even sure what causes us to experience emotions. Both social science and neurobiological have tried to know with no avail to explain the origin of emotions. You'll find that people are very emotional at times for different reasons, for different situations. Sometimes emotions are brought on or brought to us. Sometimes emotions are birthed within us. We get angry. And what we have to understand as Christians, our emotions can be troubling. It can be frustrating. It can be untrustworthy. I'm going to say that again. Our emotions can be untrustworthy. Because for some reason, people think that you have feelings of only love and understanding as a Christian. Because we are Christians, people, even on the outside, feel like that's not how you're supposed to act if you're a Christian. We ourselves try to put ourselves in this form of doing what we know or we think that God would do. When the truth is that God doesn't expect us to pretend our outrage isn't real. He doesn't want to act like we don't get angry. The Bible lets us know we can anger, but sin not. You're going to get angry. He doesn't expect us. He doesn't expect us to resist the temptation to return evil for evil. So, in other words, God doesn't want us to return evil because somebody does evil things to us. He wants us to work for reconciliation. He wants us to leave the room for His wrath, for God to take care of situations. And a lot of times, this is where we mess up. We get emotional, we get upset, we get frustrated, we get troubled, we get angry. The thing is, we can't pretend like we're not angry to satisfy other people so that, you know, we as Christians, because it's not a true way of living. And if we're going to draw people to Christ, we're going to have to let people know you're going to still get angry, you're still going to get upset. When you come over to Christ, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden things just change. Let's look at the time when Jesus got angry and he started turning tables over in the sanctuary, in the synagogue. Let's talk about when God got angry with Israel over and over again, countless times. He was angry with Israel, and Israel fell into captivity over and over again because of their sin, because of how they did, you know, how they did not keep their commandment with God, and they turned away from God. They turned to wicked ways and different things like that. God got angry. So let's understand, we can get angry, but we are not to sin. All right?
Amen.
So there are a lot of things. When we look at where we are today, we are in a situation in this country, in this world right now, where we are dealing with racism in a height that we have not dealt with in many years. It has always been there, but it has always been in a situation where we may not dealt with systemic racism face to face or so blatant as we see it today. And it doesn't matter if you are a child of God or you're not a child of God. Sometimes you're being put in situations in this day, in this time, where you get angry, you get frustrated. And you get to the place where you can't trust your own emotions, because there are times where I may not know how I'm going to react based on how I'm being treated in situations. And sometimes that's when I have to hold on to God and ask God to go ahead and take care of. And that's where it's talking about to leave room for God's wrath. Because one thing I've always learned, Elder Clay, is that God will get people better than I could ever get them. When I'm angry with people, I know one thing. If I pray to God, and see, I don't pray to God, God, you get them, you do this, you do that. I say, Lord, you have your way. I turn them over to you. And whatever you decide to do, that let your will be done. I don't have to think of nothing to do. God will avenge his children. He will make sure that whatever the enemy tries to do against his children, it's just like even in the animal kingdom, when there are those who are praying after their children, trying to destroy their children, you'll better believe that the mother or the mother is waiting somewhere in the wing when there is those who are trying to attack. There is no difference with God. God looks at his creation, and he looks at his people. He loves his children, and he knows that he is going to avenge his children. Well, let's go to Let's go to Psalms 137 for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring y'all a few places on tonight. In Psalm 137, I'm going to read verse 3, and I'm going to be reading out of the easy-to-read version, the ERV. It says, "There in Babylon, those who captured us told us to sing. Our enemies told us to entertain them, they said. Sing us one of your songs about Zion. But we cannot sing the Lord's song in a foreign country." In your versions of the Bible, it says, "How can we sing in a strange land?" And in verse 7, it says, "The Lord be sure to punish the Edomites for what they did when Jerusalem was captured. They shouted, 'Destroy its buildings, pull down to the ground Babylon. You will be destroyed. Bless the one who pays you back for what you did to us. Bless the one who grabs your babies," and watch this, "and smashes them against a rock." Now, listen, let me explain something to you. There's an Old Testament God and there's a New Testament God. We are living under the dispensation of mercy. Let us explain something. We're under dispensation of grace and mercy. And the grace and mercy is not just for us. The grace and mercy is also for sometimes for your enemy. When you look at Old Testament scripture, the Old Testament scripture, when God would tell them to go and pursue their enemy, he said, "Go and slay them all, men, women, and children. Let nothing live." Why? Because there was nothing that they were going to have to come up against. He didn't want anything else to come up against that sin or that way of living to come up against the children of Israel. And he wanted to save his children, even though his children constantly sinned against him, because he loves his children. He continuously takes care of us. He gets us, we get in trouble. Please understand, we get in trouble and we don't do what we should do. God makes sure that we pay for what we do. Even today, even under the dispensation of grace and mercy, we are not paying for what we could be paying for if mercy did not abound. Okay, so I started looking at the emotional ways that we are dealing with this president. It's hard for me not to act like I don't see what I see. For some of you, too. I'm literally looking at a child in their 70s controlling government.
The nation.
I'm looking at someone who is allowing their emotions to go completely out of control. And that is wreaking havoc all over the place. Now, whether there are those who are for his ways of how he wants to run the country and different things like that, the different things that he wanted to present, there I can understand there's some things, some policies that he wanted to put in place that people wanted to be a part of that. But when you deal with this kind of thing, you have to ask yourself the question. This has something to do with an emotional situation where he is unable to manage his own emotions. And so when you're unable to manage your own emotions to the degree that we are seeing it, then it makes you a little leery of someone who can control the buttons for all of war and all those things that go forth. You just don't want you don't want somebody to be like that, to be in control of nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. because you're having a fit. So we've got to understand, we all go through frustration. We all go through, all things don't always go our way. But the one thing that the Christians understand, those who are seasoned in God understand, even when things don't go the way I think that they should go or I thought that they should go, when I have an understanding that God is in control, I learn how to control the emotions that I have and learn how to wait on God to see what God is going to do. Because what I realize is that sometimes my emotions will put me in a place that I don't want to be in, even though it seems like that's the right way it's supposed to go. God says he knows the way that we're going to take. So therefore, if God knows the way that we're going to take, we've got to trust God even in this situation. I'm not going to get hyped up. I'm not going to get all upset about what I see. I stand fast on what I know. I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I even hear. I am only moved by what I know. And God says that he will take care of his people. Okay, let's go back to the text. Let's go back to Psalms. Let's go back to Psalms 33. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Let me explain something to you, that even though those who have taken counsel to try to destroy what God has already established, God said their devices, whatever their devices that they have, is going to be of none effect. Because what we understand is that God will take the defense mechanism away from your enemy and make sure that he is not going to accomplish, no weapon, thank you, God, that is formed against us is going to prosper. Yeah. Why? It didn't say it wasn't going to get formed. Watch this. And the Bible even says here, he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. It's not going to work. So the one thing I realize and I stand by is that it's not going to work. Somebody said, well, Pastor, we see so many people who are transitioning, who are leaving here, who are no longer with us.
Yes.
Can I explain something to you?
Come on, you weren't supposed to stay
in the first place.
Oh, my.
This is not our home.
That's right. This is not our home.
The Bible lets us know that to be absent from this body, from this dust and from this clay, means to be present with the Almighty God. Ain't that what we are searching for? Isn't that what we're looking for?
Come on now.
It seems like we're looking more to be with our family and with our friends. Mm-hmm. And see, when you have that love, don't get me wrong, I love my family. I love my church. I love people. But I have an understanding as a Christian that my goal is to see my Jesus, who made a way of escape for me.
That's right.
I can't get emotionally tied to this dust where I don't want to let it go. Because if I get so emotionally tied to this dust, I'll never see the God that I want to see face to face. Watch this.
Come on now.
The only reason that we are where we are here, or have what we have, is because God gave it to us.
That's right.
Emotions, people of God, our emotions have gotten so attached to our loved ones that even when they want to leave, we keep them here because we pray them to stay.
That's right. We do.
When the truth of the matter is, they want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So we pray them to stay in pain. We pray them to stay in suffering. Because we have taken on a selfish mentality and an emotion because I don't want to depart with your flesh. Not realizing that we are not flesh and blood, but we are spirit. Let me help y'all understand.
Come on. Yes,
when God created us, he created us because he made us in the image and likeness of himself. When God looks at the dirt, he does not see himself.
Yes.
In order for God to see himself in you, he looks beyond your flesh. Because in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. Watch this. He's never going to see himself in our flesh. And when we work in our fleshly emotions and not in our spiritual emotions, we will find ourselves, we are not going to find God in our flesh. I don't care. You can search high and low. God is not in your flesh. The Bible lets us know there is nothing good in our flesh. So therefore, if there's nothing good in our flesh, that means we work through the flesh in our emotions. We are not working through the authority of God. We are working through our own emotions. That's why the scripture was talking about, or not the scripture, but what I was sharing with you, we find our emotions are untrustworthy.
Yes, they are.
I can't trust my own emotions. Stop acting like everything I do is right. Everything you do is not correct, ma'am. Everything you do is not correct, sir. We
make mistakes.
Watch this. Sometimes we act on our emotions because we have attitudes. We got things where we feel like we're not right. And this is where the president is right now. He is in his own emotional delusion that everything he thinks he does is correct. So let's explain to ourselves. Is he working out of the spirit or is he working out of the flesh? You don't need a glorified dispensation to come down to figure out what's really going on here. That ain't God. That is not God. I want us to understand. We can try. People will try to fix it and make it seem, no, this is God. This is how God is moving. No, he's not. That's not even the characteristics of how God acts, according to his own word. God won't act like a child. He said, when I was a child, I spake like a child. When we become we put away childish things.
Yeah.
So we know that when we're a grown adult, the order of God's design order is not for us to still act like children. That's not God's design order. So when we're talking about managing our emotions, please, ma'am, please, sir, please understand, we are going to have our days where we get emotionally, things just happen, and we act out on our emotions. And when we act out on our emotions, we've got to realize that sometimes our emotions are not realistic. It's just not realistic the way some of the things we do. And we have to draw ourselves in. Got to draw ourselves in. There are times when we feel abandoned, and we should be honest about our pain. Let's be honest about where we are. Let's stop living this fantasy world that,
come on now.
I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing? I'm
blessed
and highly favored.
Say that. Yeah.
I'm walking in the favor of God when the truth of the matter is I'm not doing okay. It's okay to say I'm not doing okay. And the problem is that people's expectation is for your I'm doing well. Oh, things are better than we in a pandemic. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their family members. Is everything all right? No, ma'am, everything is not all right. I am dealing with this just like everybody is. I'm in pain. Tell the truth about it. I am going through. I am suffering. I am in hurt. I don't understand. Sometimes I don't know where God is. I thought he said he was never going to leave me or forsake me. Sometimes you've been angry with God.
Sometimes.
But I had to reverse that emotion and say, I got to trust him, even when I can't trace him. Even when I don't know what his next step is, I'm going to hold on to what I know he's capable of doing. Come on, my God, three Hebrew boys. Even if he doesn't deliver us, it's not because he's not able.
Amen.
God is able to do whatever he wants to do. So let's understand, whether it is physical, emotional, or spiritual battle, we've all fought fear at some point in time in our life. But the good news is that we gain from this psalm is that we can learn to handle fear rationally and with confidence. Listen, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I found out that when I got into a place where depression tried to kick in, because please know that even though you're a child of God, It's not like emotions bounce off of you because you carry the name. Oh, let me help you, because I know y'all think because you got Jesus and that's enough. The reason why we keep Jesus and we continue to pray unto the Almighty God is because we need him to sustain us day by day, day by day. We have to pray without ceasing. Why do we pray without ceasing? Because we do not want to give room for the enemy to catch us in our weakness. So there has to be a storage, people of God. There has to be a storage that we keep in God's house. Watch this. Verse 7 of Psalm 33. He gathereth the water of the sea together as an heap. Watch this. He layeth up the depths in storehouse. Please understand. And then it says in verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord, reverence the Lord. Let us all, the inhabitants of the world, stand in awe of him. I am so in awe of God. I am in awe of him. When I look, when I look at the things that God has created in me, the Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou even visit him. Why are you so awesome, but you still take the time to take care of us? You watch over the sparrow, so I know you're watching over us. You take care of your creation. See, sometimes we don't even know when God is helping us. We sometimes think what hurts us is what's destroying us, when the truth of the matter is what's hurting us is what actually helped us. We've got to learn to know that there is beauty in our brokenness.
Amen.
There is beauty in the brokenness. How is that beautiful to be broken, Pastor? How can you tell me that I've lost everything? I've lost husband. I lost my wife. I lost my children. I lost my cars. I lost everything. I'm down to nothing. And you're telling me that there is beauty in brokenness.
Lord, have mercy.
The reason why there's beauty in brokenness is because when you lose everything, one thing I've realized down through the years is that I can never outdo God.
My God.
And whatever I've done for God in my life, through my praise, through my worship, through my giving, through my prayer, through my talent, whatever I've given to God is never going to be compared to what God is going to bless me with. You cannot, oh my God. The song used to say, they used to sing this song when I was growing, you can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. Because the more you give, the more he'll give to you. Just keep on giving because it's really true.
Yes, God.
You can't do it. What do you mean? That means if I'm going through my emotional states and I'm going through something in my life that God has allowed me to watch this go through, not to stay in. God is not going to sustain you in hurt and brokenness. That's not where you're stable in. God's going to bring you through it to take you to something better that he has for you. The problem is we get comfortable and we sustain ourselves in brokenness. Watch this. Because then we grab hold to the emotion of attention. Oh my God, somebody even like me any day. We grab hold to the emotions of needing attention. So we rather take on the burden of sickness just so somebody would notice us.
My God, come on now.
I've met people, you ask them how they doing. You have those who say, I'm blessed and highly favored, because you have people don't want nobody in their business. They don't want you to know that they're going through. Then you have the other side of the coin, where they tell you everything. Watch this. You say, how you doing, Sally? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, but, you know, my knees been hurting me, and the arthritis, my bursitis, and my all these different things, my blood pressure, my sugar. Stop. And this is what we do when we call it for what we say is when we get to the place where it becomes ours. When sickness becomes my sickness. No, no, no.
Okay.
This is not mine.
This can't stay here. That's right.
This is not mine.
Not mine.
COVID is not mine. It can't stay here. Diabetes is not mine. It can't stay here.
Not mine.
He is the same God from yesterday to today. If he can heal, what he healed in Old Testament scripture and New Testament scripture, what makes you think your disease is greater than anybody else's disease in Old Testament or New Testament? Or watch this. Or even before we had all of these different ailments that had no cure but now have cures.
Mm-hmm.
Bible says, with his stripes we are healed. I refuse to take anything and call it, watch this, and make it a part of my family.
All right now.
Because when you say my, that means you are giving, condoning it. You are giving yourself the place where you're saying this belongs to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to take anything that does not belong to me.
All right.
Especially anything that is there to destroy my life.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got to understand, we have to detach ourselves emotionally from things and put ourselves in the right perspective. Because sometimes when we lose people, it is the most devastating thing. And I understand there are people who have lost their children. Please, I'm not minimizing that at all. People lost their children. They have lost their parents. They have lost loved ones, and the wound that it leaves in us. That is why it's very important, people of God, that we make sure that we introduce Christ to every last one of those people that we come in contact with. Because one thing I do realize, that even if they don't accept your God in your presence, doesn't mean that they have not accepted your God outside of your presence. See, because people, when they're in their alone time, and the people that you think don't pray actually do pray, and the people that you think do pray actually don't, you'll find out that there are people, that God looks at our heart while man is looking at our deeds. Because there's some things that you've done that you wish you could get back and take back. It wasn't in your heart to do something, but you acted out on it. You said, I knew that wasn't what you wanted to do. I saw in your heart what it was. But the person who saw you do the act says, that's how you are. That's your character. That's who you. And God said, that's not who they are. Because they come to me when you're not around for forgiveness. Come on, David. Create in me, oh God, a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. David did some things out of emotion and out of fear of getting caught. He acted and tried to cover up thing after thing after thing. David, the one who God said, a man after my own heart. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Because after all he went through and all the emotions that he had enough common sense to say to God, creating me. I'm not worthy. What you cannot do is do the things that we do outside of the ark of God and God's will and his ways, and then still think God is pleased with it and act like you don't have to ask God for forgiveness for it. When you go to God, because sometimes we're just emotionally a wreck, and sometimes you've got to understand that you have to be able to go to God, and you should be able to go to someone where you can find strength. And Psalm 22 shows us how to do that. Whether we are in this battle, we have to understand anger is a natural God-given emotion. It is. It is a natural God-given emotion, and through making sure that we are not harmful. And it can be used constructively. When you get angry, sometimes when you get angry, it pushes you. Your anger pushes you to get into the right place you need to be in.
Amen.
Why do I say that? Because if you get angry enough, you'll get up and do something.
Amen.
You'll get up and get out of the place you're in if you're angry enough. Sometimes you got to get yourself angry in order for you to move into the thing that you need to do. Because sometimes we get so into the place where we feel like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not strong enough, I'm not that type of person. Anybody else, we push it on everybody else. This person is better. They could do it better than me. They're prettier than me. They have more money than me. Sometimes you got to get angry enough to push yourself into the place of your own deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to understand, sometimes, listen, it's like energy. And the thing you don't think you can do, watch this. Let me help somebody. It's like when you're in the process of doing something and you don't have enough strength to push a thing, if you get angry enough, you'll find out that the table that you tried to lift, not being angry, all of a sudden, when you got real angry, it tossed like a little toy because you found strength from somewhere to muster it up, to cause it to move.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to open up the line to everybody because we're going through some emotional different things, and I want us to understand your emotions and things that you're going through are some things are natural, but we cannot allow those angers or our emotional things to put us in a place that is going to backtrack us or delay us or keep us from the ark of safety or keep us out of the house or keep us out of the connection with God. So I'm going to ask you to open up your lines because there are many things that are going on in this season and time, and some of y'all probably have some stories that you can tell us or things that are going on that you may have had to use the very fact that I got to a point where I was emotional, but I sinned not, or I used that emotion to take me to another place. So if there's somebody that just wants to share something on today concerning where we are, what's going on even within your life and how your emotions tried to run away, but you may have been able to manage them and bring them back in. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know I ain't the only one that's been angry in the last couple of weeks.
Right.
I had to turn off the news. I had to turn off the news and say, Lord, I think I had to ask God to forgive me a couple of times in the last 6 or 7 months. I'm not the only one. Now, y'all ain't gonna treat me like I'm the only one that ain't been upset and just looking at the news where you just took the remote control and threw it across the room. Come on. Y'all tell the truth.
I got pushed to anger. Today. Today, while I was in dialysis. And
praise God.
You know, people, it's a rack of people in there. And everybody don't smell fresh like me. And I don't like certain smells, and they make me sick. So I take an air freshener. And when I smell the smells, I spray. So I sprayed today, and they said somebody got sick. The nurse came and was talking to me about it. She said, I want to talk to you. I said, can it wait? She said, no. So she bends down to get to my face, starts talking junk to me about spraying and telling me not to bring it back in there. And I said, well, can you tell these people to watch their behinds before they come to die? And like she didn't hear me, said somebody had a that the air freshener triggered somebody's asthma and they had an asthma attack. I didn't believe her because the lady she was talking about had been coughing the whole 3 hours since I've been there. So I was like, whatever. I said, okay, I hear you. I hear you. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't, but you kept pushing. Kept pushing. So finally I looked up and I said, are you done? And she is like, well, I can call the doctor and we can do something, have a meeting or something. And I was like, well, do what you got to do. She didn't like that answer. And so eventually I kind of lost it. So she kept pushing. And I finally looked again, and I was like, are you done? I heard you. Are you done? And she was like, well, I'm going to call the doctor. And I said, do what you got to do, man. Do what you got to do. Don't bring that stuff back in there. I said, I'll bring what I want to in here. I said, I don't like the way you're talking to me. So I about lost my religion, but I did bite my tongue. And then I sat there, but I was angry for a long time. And I'm still angry.
Are you?
I'm back though. I'm still a little upset, but I'm not angry. I'm back. I'm back now. You bought me back.
All right, sir. The thing is that we can get to the place where we can get so angry, and I can understand that, bro. I'm be honest with you. I got a problem with that too. But you know, I have to sometimes take the high road. You know, and sometimes that's not easy, you know, trying to take the motto of the Obamas, when they go low, we go high. Sometimes I have to go low and then move my way about, you know, but I'll get there either way. But that's what I'm saying to us. Let's be honest about our outrage and let's not pretend that it does not exist. You told us the truth. That's how you felt. That's what was going on, and you couldn't take it. So, you know, at the same time, whether that was the person or not, it was, you know, everybody has their own thing that they have to deal with, but we still have to be, you know, conscious of one another, but at the same time, we're going to get upset. And it's a real thing. It's a real emotion, as well as everything else. It's we have emotions of love. We have emotions of caring. We have emotions of kindness. We have emotions of anger. We have emotions of outrage. They are all a part of our emotions. One thing I do say is that you cannot trust your emotions to make your final decisions on things in life. So you don't make make decisions out of anger, and you can't make decisions because you emotionally you so in love. No. I just love her. I just love him. And then you'll find four or five months later, you was not making a decision based on the right thing. You were basing your decisions on where you were at the time.
Right.
Now where you were later on, you had the time to think about it. Wait a minute. Maybe this wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. Maybe I didn't have to do that. Maybe I didn't have to respond like that. Maybe I didn't have to react like that. When you take time and things are clear, you can think clear. Amen?
Yes,
anybody
sir.
Else want to share anything with us?
Amen. Yes. I would like to point out that anger is a normal emotion, just like love, hate. It's a normal emotion, but how do we deal with it? Do we take time to think about it and make positive choices? You can have a teacher, for example, who tells a student, you're stupid. It makes the child very angry. The child could bite and start swearing and all that kind of stuff and act inappropriate. Or the child could say, well, I'm so angry, I'm just going to do more homework. I'm going to study harder. I'm going to show you how wrong you are. But anyway, we have to take control of that anger that's there and use it in a positive manner, as God would want us to do. But he gave us these emotions for reasons, but we have to use them in a positive manner, use them in a spiritual manner.
Amen. Absolutely, absolutely. So when we think about it, you know, there are people who are still angry with people based on stuff that happened years ago. You let your anger exist for 5 and 10 and 15 years, and you lose out on so many things with individuals that you could have had based on anger. And when you really think about what you're angry about, you won't let it go because now it's no longer anger, it's pride.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So your anger has switched to pride because nobody wants to say or be the bigger person and say, I'm the one who did wrong and I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, so never let your anger turn into pride.
Because
you lose out on good people. And not only that, you lose out on good opportunities that people may have to offer, but because you're so angry over something that you don't remember that was so petty,
yeah,
you're stuck in pride.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some things we have to let it go. So that's my time. I thank God for all of you who was on today. And I want us to just think about this and, you know, where we are. And before we, you know, make a step, because we're going to be in situations, even now in this situation that we're going through it, with everything that's the height of everything that's going on. And we pray that the Lord will allow things to just, you know, calm down. But at the same time, I'm glad it did because it opened up things so people, not that we didn't see it, we've been seeing it for years, but for people who didn't see it were able to see it, and hopefully the people who have seen it will do something about it, and we'll push them to do something about it and not cover it and make it just die down again and act like it doesn't exist. No, it's come out, so let's go ahead and deal with it. And let's try to do what we can to fix it, not just for us, more so for our children's children. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Other players, over to you. I have another Bible class, so I love you guys.
Amen.
Y'all, see you next third Wednesday. Be blessed.
Amen. God bless you. We love you, too. Thank you for that instruction, because especially with this time that we're in right now, with the division and the and all that we have that we're going through. Thank you for that instruction in terms of harboring, that it only gets worse. You know, I always think about when we look at when we get angry and we hold it in, it's almost like a cancer. It just eats you up. You know,
yeah.
It just eats you up. So thank you for that. If I may,
Dr. Clay, I'd like to bounce off of what you're saying too, and Pastor as well, that when that unforgiveness is in your heart, and you feel that you might be right or they might be right, or there's no right. There's only one side, God's side. But what I'm saying is that when you keep that unforgiveness in your heart and you don't ask God for forgiveness, because I was in a situation myself, I had to ask God forgiveness, ask the person. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When we don't, and forgive myself, when we don't allow forgiveness to take hold, we might move in a natural sense, but our spiritual growth stunts. It stops. We can be moving and not forgiving somebody, and we're moving naturally, but spiritually you're really not moving. Jesus forgave them. He forgave them when he was on that cross. He forgave them, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did that. He could have called those angels down to get them off there, but you know what? Forgiveness saw us down the line. I'm just saying,
amen,
forgiveness is such a great part of our lives,
amen,
that we can't even,
amen,
overlook. And we can't overlook the anger either, like Pastor was talking about. It's real. It's real. And it's okay to have that anger. But
amen,
just don't let the anger. The Bible says, you know what? There's a scripture. Let me just say this real quick. There's a scripture that says, I believe it's in Proverbs. Let me get it. I had it. Real quick. It was in Proverbs, and it talks about how he that controls his anger is him that is greater than one that takes, I'm paraphrasing, one that takes a city. So we have to know that it does exist, but we have to also control, try to control, allow God to control us.
I think that was Proverbs 16.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Thank you.
And bless you for coming on and sharing. And it's good when we come together in unity. Pastor Mixon, as always, we thank you for a powerful and encouraging word for the body of Christ. We pray that your church and everyone within your church family and all remain safe and healthy during these times. Amen. We'd like to invite you back next week. I think we're going to be in Huntsville, North Carolina. Amen. So we'd like to invite you back next week. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Everyone take care and make sure that you follow instructions. God bless.
God bless you. Amen.
Face the dawn.